Hi, and welcome to today's episode of the Time for Health podcast with me, your main host, Lewis Pierce, and my lovely little co-host, Matthew Long. How are you, mate?
I am fine. Lewis, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, we lost you a bit there.
Did you? What's going on? We got a bit of interruption on the internet.
Yeah, it's a bit windy where you are, though, isn't it? Maybe your area was getting blown about a bit.
Or maybe it's just the fact that I'm in the UK and you're in Cyprus. Who knows?
Possibly. But in this day and age, you know, we've got the technology to... It wouldn't make any difference whether we were sat next to each other. Yeah, on different computers.
I must admit, I've got clients all over the world at the moment with using hypnotherapy online. It's just as effective. It's working really well.
Good, mate.
But, would you believe it? I've had 3 people stop smoking since the lockdown.
Nice.
Now, you'd think, psychologically, that maybe people would think, oh, this is not the time to give up smoking because I'm under stress. But no, I think people are at that point, you know, they're probably smoking too much at home because they're bored. So they've come to me, and just after one session, I've had 3 people in the last 10 days stop smoking.
Well, maybe they just can't get to the shop. They can't get to the shop to buy more fags, so they might as well quit.
It's so damn expensive nowadays. But, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, normally you get a spike in sort of January, February for people to stop smoking. But I've had a spike in since the lockdown. And I've had even more inquiries recently of more people who want to give up smoking, which is great. You know, you're going to save money, you're going to get healthier. It's brilliant. It's fantastic.
Yeah, man. It's all good. So, yeah, we've been debilitating for a couple of days what we wanted to talk about in this episode. We couldn't come up with anything. It could be really like... So we were kind of spitballing and chatting just before we went live. We got into the topic of stretching, didn't we?
Yeah, so, which is not something I expected us to come out and talk about today, but stretching.
But it's something that I've been always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be more flexible, to be more mobile. And also, I've had a lot of lower back issues lately since I had like a spasm in the top of my glute from doing quite heavy squats, which set my entire lower back into a massive spasm. And then it just went really tight for like a month. And it's never really been the same. So I've been trying to find ways of easing off that lower back pain. And I found that the most consistent way of me actually doing that is starting off every day, primarily stretching off my entire body. And I've seen massive benefits from it since starting to do it in January. And I've also seen that, well, I introduced it then to my clients. So I do a weekly mobility every single Monday in my private coaching group. I post another routine, 10-minute routine that the girls that I work with can do. And they've been seeing results. Like a lot of them are runners and cyclists who do a lot of long distance stuff. And a lot of them are people that have just been very, very inactive their entire lives. And every single one of them is seeing benefits from doing this daily stretching routine once or twice a day. So I thought, why not better to share this revelation with our listeners? And I know that, Matt, you know a bit about stretching. You're more so post-injury recovery based, aren't you, I'd say?
That's right, yeah. I mean, with the clinic I work in, I'm working with the musculoskeletal system. And it's usually, obviously, people come to me once that, you know, they've got an injury. Some people do come for maintenance, which is great. But a lot of people are usually coming to me because they've already got an injury.
I think the biggest thing with people is that they don't, like we talk about all the time, dealing with the problem, addressing the problem, not the symptoms. And ultimately, an injury is, a lot of the time, for in my experience anyway, the injury that I get is kind of related to an issue that I've been neglecting, like lower back pain or a lower back spasm comes from not stretching off my glutes after training legs, or, you know, a shoulder injury comes from not mobilizing before a workout or having limited range of motion or limited mobility. So I think the biggest thing that people can take from this episode is that, in my opinion, stretching is a means of preventing or minimizing the risk of injury and poor mobility in the future. Would you agree with that, Matthew?
Yeah, and you know, it depends what you want to achieve as well. If you're into martial arts, you might want to increase range of motion, range of movement, you know, for those kicks and things like that. Or, you know, it could be any number of things.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and steer this spitballing spitballing episode into some kind of structure and direction. So it's safe to say that stretching is important, isn't it, Matt? Safe to say that.
Yeah, it's stretching at the right time.
Yeah. So what is the best time to stretch then, Matt? That's a very that's a very loaded question. And it's supposed to be
loaded question. And it depends what you're trying to achieve. Now, of course, if someone's coming into my clinic room and they have a physical problem, then, for example, back pain between the shoulder blades can quite often be caused by over-tight chest muscles. And depending on the position of the shoulder, and this is why I do a postural assessment, depending on the position of the shoulder, we can work out which muscle of the chest that is causing the tightness. Could be the pectoralis minor or major. And it depends on whether knuckles are facing forward or whether the shoulders are rounded forward. Depends on which muscle we're going to be looking at. Sometimes it's both. And then you've got very rounded shoulders usually with these people. And of course, then the muscles in the middle between the shoulder blades are getting overstretched and having to work too hard. So you get those knots, you get that pain, and it's uncomfortable. It usually comes down to bad posture or people not stretching after they've done their good chest workout. So releasing the chest muscles off ends up being my priority rather than working on the muscles on the back that hurt, which once you've explained it to a client, they understand. And it's amazing just after doing some soft tissue release work and some post-isometric relaxation, which basically means activating the stretch and then getting the client to try and resist against the stretch. So we're activating the muscle during a stretch. And you can get a very good muscle release off that. Muscle energy techniques, as some people might know it.
That's how we met, mate.
You know, it's a stretch. Hey?
That's how we met. Do you remember? Can you remember that's how we met? I came to you with a injury in my back. And it's because
that was right, yeah.
It's because I had poor posture, yeah. And then you had to stretch my chest, take my shoulders back.
That's right. That was a few years ago.
And you fixed me. You fixed me, mate. I've not had an issue since with that area.
There you go. It works. So yeah. So that's it. Obviously when you come into a clinic room, we can work out what muscles need to be stretched, if any, and that's what we're going to do. We release the muscle, get it back. We're not going to overstretch it. We're not going to try and make it longer than it needs to be. We're going to try and bring it back to its original length. So that's when we talk about, you know, medical stretching, clinical stretching, and also the time and place for that. Now, when you do exercise, there's a guy called Kelly Starrett who wrote a book called The Supple Leopard, or Becoming the Supple Leopard. Now, if we look at how a leopard goes about its daily life, gets up in the morning after having a sleep, or it might be getting up in, you know, middle of the night because it wants to get out at dawn and use the low light to help hunt. But he gets up and he does his stretch. Cat stretch, dog stretch, whatever you want to call it. They do a combination. And that's it. That's their stretch done. And then they'll have to go and walk and find food. And they might walk 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even more kilometers to go and find food. And they'll have a nice, gentle trot while they're walking. They won't be burning off any more energy than they need to, but they need to cover ground. So it'd be a bit like us doing a very slow jog. And when they eventually spot the herd, did the food on the move, they start going to prowling. Now, of course, prowling, as they're getting closer, leopard crawl, whatever you want to call it, it's going to use energy, it's going to use muscles. And all of a sudden, you know, they see the weak member of the herd and they go from 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Boom. Catch their prey. Now, they haven't stretched off. They haven't done any. They've done a warm-up because that's all part of the process of getting to where they need to get to. But they haven't stretched. They catch their prey. They might drag it off into a tree. They might just eat it there and then. They might need to bring some of it back. And, of course, when they've got young, they will digest it and regurgitate it. Or if they're younger, a bit bigger, they might actually carry part of it back to their young. So then they've got to trot back 4, 5, 6 kilometers with either a belly full of food or a belly full of food, mouth full of food. Yeah. And take it back to their den. Now that takes effort, you know, carrying that extra weight. But again, they're going to use the most efficient way of walking for them, a very slow plod And they may, even if they've got a big chunk of meat in their mouth that they're trying to drag back, they may have to keep stopping for a rest. They don't stretch. They get back to the den. They feed their young if they've got young, or they might just go to sleep. No stretching required.
Mm-hmm.
And that food in their belly might last them 2 or 3 days before they need to go out and do it again. So they're not training every day.
Yeah. That's what we see a lot of people doing, though, is they don't warm up. They go straight into the massive intensity and then they stretch after. So they do it the complete opposite way around.
Yeah. They,
you know, Dave's like, oh, January the 1st, new year, new me, a few shoulder rolls, a couple of leg swings, and they're off trying to run a 5K where they haven't run for 5 years. And then at the end of the run, they then do, you know, the usual.
Yeah, you've got to remember that this leopard is probably doing this every two days, 3 days, you know, when it's hungry again.
Hmm.
So his whole life is about catching food. Obviously, they're very much physically designed to do that. And this is what could bring us on to a completely another subject, functional training. you know, do we really need to do straight leg raises?
Hmm.
Or do we need to do bent over rows or whatever? You know, there's plenty of exercises out there that you can see in the world which actually have no function for the body other than people like to lift heavy weights and it looks good. You know, it's another bone of contention of mine. But to be quite honest, a lot of these exercises keep me in business.
True, mate. True.
Because people do them badly. But yeah, if we look at the way the leopard works, you know, his stretch is going to be when it first wakes up. And then he's going to have a nice gentle warm-up. Then his warm-up just increases slightly as he goes into the... Then he's going to have his burst of energy. Then he's going to walk home. You know, and that is it. And it's the warm down. You've got to remember, he's done 5-6 Ks walk out as his warm up, and he's done 5-6 Ks walk back as his warm down. So if we adopted that philosophy in our training, then in theory, we should never need to stretch. Now, because we overload ourselves for longer periods of time, like when we're doing resistance training, then that then becomes a problem because we're creating tight muscles rather than just doing what we're functionally designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating tight muscles by isolating muscle groups. I mean, the leopard doesn't just use its hamstrings. It uses every muscle in its body when it's chasing its prey.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. So they're all sharing the load. Obviously, some are more are going to be stronger than others, like the thighs for that acceleration and everything else. And this is what we get, you know, we look at functional training, we look at what muscles we're using. So, but because of the way we adopt our training styles, and everyone's different, we have to look at then how we're going to counteract us doing it badly, doing it wrong. So we can stretch immediately afterwards. And now when I used to do a lot of resistance training, you could call it body sculpting or bodybuilding or whatever, when I used to do a lot of martial arts in my younger days. I used to use the period between sets or repetitions to stretch that particular muscle group. So the same, if I was doing chest press, you know, you do, 8 to 10 reps, you'd get off, you'd wait about a minute before you do another 8 to 10 reps or whatever sort of system you're using. But I use that time in between to stretch, to keep the muscle at its full length, because flexibility doing martial arts is obviously key. And so that was the time. So I wouldn't need to stretch afterwards because I'd stretch during. And I never in those days, I've never had an injury. And it's the same with any kind of resistance training. Stretch between your sets. That's what I would recommend. If you go in for a run, make sure you warm down. That is the key thing. Make sure you warm down. Just, you know, leave your front door, warm up gently and go for a 5 mile run and come back and then stop. You need to go and walk around the block a few times. You want probably a third of your time running needs to almost be your warm down. Now, of course, if you've just done 26 miles, you don't want to do another 10, can't even work that out, 6-7 miles, you know, warm down walking, but you could do a mile. You know, to give your body real time to come down, recover, and it keeps the blood flowing. It gets all the toxins out of your muscles, so you're not going to stiffen up. If, however, you do find that you get home and you start to stiffen up, I find the best time to start stretching is not immediately after your exercise, but 45 minutes, maybe an hour and 20 minutes after you've stopped, depending on whether you've just come home and sat down on your ass, or depends on whether you've gone for your run in the morning and then gone to work and you're on your feet all day. You know, it depends on what your lifestyle is like. But it's normally about an hour after you've done, or an hour and a half after you've done intensive exercise, that you start feeling the stiffness creeping in. So that's going to be the time you really want to do a warm down. Do a little bit of stretching, but you don't want to be overstretching. Mm-hmm. If we look at stretching for martial arts and we want to increase range of movement and mobility, then we need to go into the what some people call hyperbolic stretching. Some people call it post-isometric relaxation. But basically, we're looking at a whole group of things called muscle energy techniques, METs, where we're activating the muscle during a stretch to increase its length. Now, when I'd use that in the clinic, I'm only trying to achieve the muscle coming back to its original length. But I have worked with some guys who do martial arts, and girls for that matter, and they're struggling to, for example, the big one with martial arts is getting the hips opened out, being able to get into that box stretch, whatever. So I'll take them through hyperbolic stretching, METs, whatever they need to do. So I'll start them off, I'll demonstrate it in the clinic with them doing it, not me. And then I'll show them how to do it, and I'll demonstrate it with my limited flexibility on how they can engage the muscle during a stretch safely without putting extra load through laterally through the knee joint or something. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different types of stretching, lots of different types, and it all depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners are people that are just generally trying. They're not athletes, some of them maybe, but generally speaking, they're not athletes, professional athletes. They're just day-to-day human beings that want to be more active, live a healthier lifestyle, prolong their life. What advice would you give to someone, Matt, that is exercising 3 times a week, maybe doing sort of compound moves, bit of running, maybe hasn't exercised for a few years consistently? What would your advice to them be to get the real benefits from stretching and not do it incorrectly?
If you've never stretched before and you've not had any kind of education in exercise, then get in touch. There's some great YouTube videos, which are not mine, which I use, and I send them on to clients on how to stretch correctly. There's a wonderful lady, I don't know her, called Ask Dr. Joe on YouTube. And her videos are very safe. They're very thought through, and she's a little bit entertaining, and she'll take people through different kinds of stretches, mobility exercises, exercises for lower backache, whatever. And her stretches, I've watched her stretches and thought, those are exactly the kind of stretches that I will show my clients. So no point in me making videos, I'll just direct them to Dr. Joe on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so doing it safely is key, I suppose, with any kind of exercise or stretching. For someone who's just at home, if you're doing say online yoga, then really you don't need to stretch afterwards. You've just done a whole class of stretching. If you're doing say a class online at home, I'm just thinking now, I'm bringing this in because a lot of people around the world are in lockdown at the moment, so you're not going to be doing this as part of a class, going to a gym or anything like that. And we'll get onto that in a minute. But if you're doing stuff in lockdown, be careful of the classes that you watch or take part in, and be mindful of the kind of stretching they're doing at the end. Quite often, a lot of these things will just tell you to now go and stretch and warm down. And which, for a lot of people, they'll do their 40 minutes, 50 minutes of aerobics or whatever it is, step class, and then they'll just go and have a shower. But it's the warm down. It's not so much the stretch, it's the warm down. And it's when you've then had your shower and you've been for a bit of a walk around the block or around your garden or wherever, you can do a bit of an exaggerated walk, moving your arms, making everything's moving. If you then go and sit down, just imagine that's the leopard going to sleep at night or going to sleep during the day. And then when it gets up, that's when it stretches. And that's the same for us human beings. If we sit down for 2 or 3 hours watching TV or whatever, it's then when you get up that you feel stiff and tight, and that's when you need to stretch. And it doesn't have to be aggressive stretching. It just needs to be gentle stretching, just to loosen everything off. A bit like getting up in the morning, and I wish I did it more because I keep forgetting to do it, is literally just stretch my whole body, like I'm trying to reach to the ceiling and stretch my calves out, almost doing like a cat stretch lying in my bed. I haven't even stood up yet. And I find that if I do that kind of stretch and then get out of bed, I'm not sort of hobbling around in pain. Well, I say not pain so much, but stiffness, trying to get my body to wake up. I've already woken it up with a stretch and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
So if you sit down for any length of time, just think that's your rest. When you get up, that's when you need to stretch.
Okay. So to summarize then what we've covered then, it's when you, after a period of rest, whether you've been sat at a desk, sat on the sofa, sleeping, that is when you should be predominantly stretching your muscles out, yeah, to normal length. So that could be a case of, like you said, just one big stretch that works your whole body, or it could be what I get my clients to do is a short 5 to 10 minute stretching routine that targets particular areas.
Yep.
I'd also say, from a personal perspective, if you've got a particularly tight area, stretch off this area as soon as you wake up. So for me, it's glutes. Stretch them off every single day to make sure sort my lower back out. And then any exercise that you do, suitably warm up prior to any physical exertion. More importantly, cool down post any physical exertion.
Yeah.
Blood pooling as well was something that I wanted to mention. Because those of you that are watching that don't know what blood pooling is, where you basically, your heart rate increases when you exercise, pumps more blood around your body. Your body then uses muscular contractions to help return the blood flow from your legs back up, because it's got to work against gravity. So if your heart is still pumping at a rate where you're doing exercise, but you're actually sat still, that blood's going into your legs and there's no muscular contraction to return it back. So you get what's called blood pooling, where basically your legs go really, really heavy and stiff, and it can not be very pleasant at all. It kind of feels like if you've been sat on a plane for ages and your legs start throbbing and being a bit uncomfortable. So that's probably the biggest reason I would do a cool down personally, is to avoid that, because I've had it before, that very unpleasant feeling.
Exactly right, and that's exactly what the leopard does when it does its 5-6K walk back.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting rid of all the toxins in its muscles. The explosive nature of what a leopard does, and sprinters and things like that, or even if it's in the gym, you know, trying to push the heaviest weights possible, whatever, it's that warm down. And you can imagine it, he doesn't just walk back at a very slow pace. He wants to get back as soon as he can. So he's doing a nice, again, a slow jog, you know. And if we don't necessarily need to jog. We can just do an exaggerated walk, a little bit of speed walking, whatever. It doesn't have to be super fast. It's a little bit quicker than our normal, you know, and use the arms and shoulders and that to just swing a little bit more than maybe, you know, like I say, an exaggerated walk.
Yeah.
And that will keep everything moving. That will keep all the blood flowing. Like you say, it will stop the blood pooling. It will get rid of the toxins in the muscles. And, you know, you're going to carry on your normal day. I mean, one of the best ways I've found of preventing DOMS, delayed onset of muscle soreness. Now, a year or so ago, I had a friend who's a personal trainer. And once or twice a week, he'd take me through my paces. And he'd say to me 2 or 3 days later, "How are your muscles? Are they really stiff and sore?" And I'd be like, "Nope." And he'd be like, "Oh, need to work you harder." And I'm like, well, no, it's got nothing to do with how hard I worked, because I worked hard in the sessions he gave me. Believe me, he thrashed me. But I do it in the morning, and then normally I start work at lunchtime and work through till, you know, 9, half 9 in the evening. And I'm on my feet all day. I'm using my body through massage, rehabilitation, exercises that I'm doing with people. So my body was on a warm down all day long. So yeah. I never got stiff and sore. So I never got DOMS, which was very frustrating for him because his mental mindset was, if you're not getting DOMS, you're not working hard enough.
Yeah, yeah. Damages ego a bit.
Yeah, I was on the, I'm going to shout out, Martin Arnold, well done. Very good friend of mine, really nice bloke, and I definitely recommend him. But because of my physical nature of my job, I was just warming down all day. So I never let those toxins build up. I never had that blood pooling. I never, I never stopped all day. So my muscles were, I was basically on a warm down for 8-9 hours. So I never got stiff and sore.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's proof alone that, the warm down is the essential bit. Now, of course, if you start getting any kind of dysfunction, and we go back to you, I'm sure with you, Lewis, with your tight chest, I gave you homework, chest stretches. My favorite one, every time you walk through a doorway, use a door frame to stretch one of your chest muscles on one side. And what I find is, very short stretching, but a lot of it during the day works best.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you walk through a door, say you've got a problem with your left shoulder, you're going to stretch your left shoulder. When you walk back through the door, stretch your right one because you don't want to become uneven. And 2-3 second stretch just to bring it back to its original length very quickly without obviously overdoing it, without trying to create some kind of massive stretch or put loads of force through it. But because quite often a lot of these things come down to our job style, our lifestyle, and our posture, then little and often is far more effective than, say, just doing a 2-minute stretch in the morning. Because all that's going to happen is the rest of the day, you're just going to tighten up, seize up, that muscles can go back to the shortened length that it likes to be. Mm-hmm. So little and often throughout the day with a dysfunctional muscle is far better than just one big long stretch in the morning, one big long stretch in the evening.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. So basically, have it in the forefront of your mind that you want to return a muscle to a normal length. Like for me, since having the back issue seeing Matt, I'm very, very conscious of being hunched over. And I know that if I'm sat at my computer, like right now I'm sat in my daughter's room because she's downstairs. Sat in my daughter's room, I'm sat on like a little makeup stool that Sarah uses. There's no back support. So I'm making a very conscious effort to try and keep my chest up because I know that if I don't, I'm going to get back pain. So just try and have it in the forefront of your mind that is how you're stood, is how you're sat. Poor posture. If so, stand up every now and then. Stand up. If you're sat at a desk, stand up every half an hour. Do some arm rotations, do some chest slaps, stretch out those muscles, get them back to a normal position, and then crack on. And that's going to help you deal with that. Sometimes unavoidable poor posture.
Yeah, one of the problems that I see a lot of, and this is because of today's lifestyles that we have, is problems in the hips, the hip flexors. Muscles like the psoas, which is a massive hip flexor through the hip, through the cradle of the hip, which you can't actually physically see. It can be treated if you're trained correctly. And it's when people are sat down all day at their computers, they go to stand up and they can't stand up straight away because all those hip flexors are too tight. And they've got that slight bend in the hips still as they try and stand up. And they've got to stretch it out before they can sort of walk normally. So when I get clients like that, and I do get to sit it on a regular basis because people do sit down at computers all day. And they feel like they've got lower back pain a lot of the time. And that's because the psoas muscle is connected to the lumbar spine. Look it up. It's got a silent P. P-S-O-A-S. Psoas muscle. Mm-hmm. And they feel lower back pain as they stand up. And it's because that muscle's got shortened because it's sat in a shortened position for 8 hours a day. And then they suddenly stand up and it needs to stretch. It needs to be brought back to its original length. So basic hip flexor stretches are a great thing. And that's something I'll encourage clients to do when they have a sit down job and they've come to me with that problem, is set an alarm on their phone, even if it's just a silent alarm. So it flashes on the screen or whatever. Every 20 minutes, get up, walk around your desk, do a quick hip flexor stretch. It can literally, and it's a short, again, 2-3 second stretch, just to bring that muscle back to its length.
Yeah, I find that with hip flexors, because I had that very same issue with a massive arch in my lower back that caused lower back pain, and it was down to tight hip flexors.
Yep.
I find that stretching hip flexors for too long can be actually counterproductive and quite painful, stretching your hip flexors for too long. So I would always, when it comes to doing your hip flexor stretch, maybe do like a little bit of a pulse. So you in a hip flexor position where, or the stretch position where you're like one knee on the floor at 90 degrees, one leg up, the foot planted at 90 degrees, if that makes sense. If you can imagine that. Then you kind of lean into it, maybe do a bit of a reach simultaneously and do say 10 leans each leg. You know, you're not going to be stretching it past its range of motion. It's not going to be uncomfortable and it's going to get it back to the position that it wants to be. I think that's probably one of the most important stretches that anyone can do is a hip flexor stretch. Hence why the world's greatest stretch is a hip flexor stretch. That's what the stretch is called.
We can bring in muscle energy techniques with that as well. So activating the muscle during the almost the peak of the stretch. So we're just basically trying to resist against the stretch with the muscle that you're trying to stretch. And it's makes it far more effective. It's almost like stretching the muscle from the inside out. Very effective. But again, we're only trying to bring the muscle back to its original length. We're not trying to become more flexible. Now, that brings us on to something. Hypermobility. Hypermobile people find it very difficult to stretch some tight muscles. Now, you've got to be classed as hypermobile, you've got to have between out of the 12 major joints in the body, you've got to have 8 of them that are in hypermobility. But you could just be one of those people that's not classed as hypermobile, but you have hypermobility in, say, your hips.
Maybe you're just pregnant.
Yeah, you won't be medically classed as hypermobile, but you might have hypermobility in the hips. That's what I see a lot of. And so medically, you're not hypermobile, but you've got hypermobility in the hips. So that can be a problem when people are trying to stretch things like the psoas, hip flexors, and even glutes. You know, that you can bring them into a full stretch and they're like, nope, I'm not feeling it. And that's when we need to start looking
at activating it.
Active stretching,
exactly.
And all of a sudden they can feel, because they get tight muscles, they can feel the tightness,
they can't,
but when we try and stretch it, they don't feel it.
They're just stretching the joint, you know, going for a large amount of play in the joint rather than actually triggering the muscle.
Exactly. So you do need to adapt stretching styles for different people. So if you are one of these people who has hypermobility, resistance training is probably one of the key things I highly recommend for anyone with hypermobility, which would keep all your joints, ligaments, tendons a little bit stronger, which will give you more stability of your joints. I had a guy, a friend of mine in the RF regiment, who used to come to me for treatments. He used to train like an absolute beast, and he was hypermobile in bloody nearly every joint in his body. And the only way he could remain injury-free, pain-free, for his hypermobility was to train. He needed to keep that resistance training going to keep his muscles, keep his joints stable through muscle and ligament resistance. So, for hypermobile people, it is key to do some form of resistance training on those joints just to keep the ligaments and tendons strong around it.
Awesome. We're good about it. So I think we should wrap it up there because we're
very
quiet. Mate, you thought we wouldn't have much to talk about with this. You just talked my ear off, mate, for like an hour.
It's something I do all day long, I suppose. Not talking, but fixing people with all those kind of problems. And you doing the right kind of stretch at the right time is the key thing, I think.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So just summarise, those of you that skipped to the end, because you couldn't be asked listening. I'll summarise what we covered roughly. So always stretch in the morning. Yeah, do some kind of stretch that's going to put your muscles in at the right length that they need to be, and do the same after any period of rest, any period of time where you're sat down still, any time where you're sat in the car, sat at your desk, you've not been active for a while, just do some kind of stretch, whether it's the cat stretch, you've got cat cow pose, you've got just reaching for the sky.
Just to jump in there, Lewis, that kind of stretch could literally be like a yawn stretch.
Yeah.
You know, when you yawn and you just stretch your arms out and your legs out and just, doesn't actually have to be going into a specific hamstring stretch. It can be just literally a whole body, reach for the sky, push your toes away, and just like a big yawn stretch. That's it.
Yeah. So try not to sit in the same place for too long. If you do take breaks by doing some specific stretches on maybe a tight area that you have, or by just like Matt said, just doing a yawn type stretch where you just stretch everything simultaneously. Now, when it comes to training, make sure you do a warm up. More importantly, make sure you do a cool down. And then look at maybe doing, if you have to then sit down at a desk or whatever, post exercise, post cool down, look at doing some stretching what later on through the day, because your muscles will continue to contract as you cool down. So you may want to stretch them back out later on to bring them back to normal length as they continue to contract as you start cooling down. Anything else to cover? Hypermobility. Yeah, make sure you're doing resistance training to stabilize the joint as much as possible by having strong muscles. And then you may not feel a stretch even though you have a tight muscle. So you may have to do some kind of muscle activation during the stretch, which I'm sure if you have an issue with stretching because you're hypermobile, if you drop my message or an email, his email links are always in the show notes. I'm sure he'll send you some links to videos that can show you how to, to do the muscle, and if the stretch.
So, we can do an online consultation as well.
Oh, Matt, you're the gift that just keeps giving.
I am.
Wicked. I've enjoyed today, mate.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not one I thought we'd ever discuss, really. But and I know there's going to be people out there who are in jobs where they have been taught to go through all this stretching immediately after exercise. Who have been taught to stretch as part of their warm up. And all I can say with that is it's old school.
Yeah. The only thing I do in warm up is mobilize the muscles, like we've touched on before when it comes to exercise.
Functional movement.
Yeah, all you want to do is you want to activate the joint so that the synovial fluid is released so that the joint is lubricated before you put it under load. So stuff like arm swings, back rotations, leg swings, stuff like that. Nothing crazy, not overstretching, just you moving the joint so it's lubricated before you put it under load.
That exaggerated walk I was talking about, as part of your warm-up, just like the leopard would do when searching for his prey.
Exactly. So no stretching before, maybe do a little stretch when you wake up, but maybe a little bit of a stretch routine targeting a particular problem area. No need to stretch before a warm-up. Always do a cool-down. Stretch a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And if you sat still,
you've done a good cool-down, you never need to stretch afterwards. And I proved that with my personal trainer when I was training in the mornings, and it was robust, hard to fatigue training. And then because I worked all day with a physical job, I never got delayed onset of muscle soreness, TOMS. I was fine. And he hated me for that.
Decent, mate. We've covered a lot today. Covered a lot today. Just prove a point, mate. We've covered a lot. Hopefully people listening can take something away and maybe make some tweaks to their training structure and recovery, and maybe tell other people to sort of do what they're doing and do something a little bit differently.
One thing you missed out on the recap there. If you are doing resistance training, stretch that muscle between sets, between reps, whatever, just to keep it at its original length. Because by doing resistance training, we're encouraging the muscle to be shorter and tighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome, Matt. Absolute pleasure as always. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you see the listeners next week.
Yeah, you all take care now. Stay safe. Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.